Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I know I've ranted about this this app before called Bleacher Report. It's my main like sports breaking news app that I prefer to use, even though they update me on a bunch of stupid shit that I don't care about, like soccer updates that I don't give a shit about, WNBA updates that I don't give a shit about, golf updates that I don't give a shit about, and then also stupid fucking tweets from goddamn celebrities like, oh, LeBron James had an opinion on this, he tweeted this, and they'll give me those fucking updates. But last night, the Longhorns, they were playing college baseball last night. It was game three of the series. It was all to go on to the next round and play in the College World Series. And unfortunately, the game was delayed by weather for quite a few hours. And so they didn't end up really playing the game until I think like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, my time. And so I unfortunately didn't really get to see much of the game. And I had no idea how the end result was going. And I was like, oh, cool. Maybe I should have like a score update. No. Bleacher Report didn't give me an update on what the Longhorns college baseball team did. You know, something I'm actually interested in hearing about. I even have, like, notices that it should give me any updates that have to do with the Texas Longhorns just in general. So, what the fuck, Bleacher Report? What the fuck? You're going to update me on all a bunch of stupid-ass shit that I don't care about, but the one thing I actually am hoping to see a fucking breaking news thing for is when my team is playing. By the way, Texas Longhorns, moving on to the College World Series, first round. I believe this is their 38th overall time being in the College World Series. So hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. All right, let's get to the NBA Finals Game 4. That was on Friday night, and Golden State pretty much dominated, especially the second half. They ended up getting the win 107-97, so the series is tied up at 2 currently. But Steph Curry went off. He scored 43 points. That dude, he was just, it didn't matter what was going on, who was guarding him. He was knocking everything down. And he was just showing the league why. Like, you do not doubt him. And if you're a Steph Curry hater, you must be pretty upset because that dude went off. He's actually played pretty well the entire finals. But on the Celtics side of things, they kept the game pretty close for the most part in the first half, especially. But the second half is really where the Warriors ended up dominating. They've been dominating every third quarter in every game. Even the games that they've lost, they dominate the third quarters. But the Celtics, they just weren't able to make any type of comeback. The fourth quarter, it just started to get away from them. Jason Tatum, I think he went like 1 for 4 in the fourth quarter. So that's not what you want to see from your star player. The Golden State Warriors, they tied this shit up. And game 5 is tonight in San Francisco. I'm expecting the Warriors to get tonight's win. And we'll see what happens. But Curry's pretty much unstoppable at this point. If he has another game like he did a couple nights ago, the Celtics better clamp down on defense, even though it doesn't look like it's helping at this current point in time. But they're definitely going to need to clamp it up against the Steph Curry and the Warriors tonight. All right, and then in UFC this weekend, man, we had a shit ton of knockouts, like crazy-ass knockouts. Starting with, first of all, I can't pronounce a lot of these names that were in this weekend's fights, by the way. So, unfortunately, in this first matchup I'm going to mention, Weili Zhang her opponent's name, I cannot even begin to guess what her last name is. So it doesn't really matter, though, because she got knocked the fuck out by Zhang, who just back... She did, like, a 360 backhand motherfucker right on with her, like, the forearm, and she just knocked this bitch out. She knocked her out so hard that the chick retired right after she got knocked the fuck out. So that's what you call a damn good-ass knockout, and so that was crazy. Then earlier in the night, there was another crazy second-round knockout by Matthews, who KO'd Fialo, and that was another crazy knockout where he just, like, he corners the dude, and then he just, boom, gets him right in the face. And that was a great knockout. And then the third knockout was Della Maddalena, who had a technical knockout against Amiv in round one, which was just another, man, it was just crazy to watch all of these knockouts one in a row. And there was even more, too. Like, even the prelims, they had a ton of knockouts. And then the main event... It wasn't a knockout, I mean, like, the guy who ended up winning was probably going to lose if it went to the scorecards, if it just went the distance and they had to judge by scorecards. But at the end, like, right before the end of the fifth round, he was able to put his opponent into submission, and he ended up getting the win. So it was a crazy weekend for UFC fights. For people's last names who I cannot fucking pronounce, but y'all kicked some motherfucking ass in UFC this weekend. Now moving on to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, we now have the final set. Colorado Avalanche will now be playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are in their third straight finals in a row. They've won the last two, so they know how it is. It's one of the reasons why I kept picking the Tampa Bay Lightning, because I can't pick against championship caliber teams, especially the two-time defending champs. They know how to win. But the Colorado Avalanche, like I've said, they have been the best team in hockey all season long. They are currently favored in this matchup. And also Colorado, during the regular season, they owned the Lightning. Their regular season record in their two matchups is 2-0. So Avalanche have their number. And the Avalanche have made these playoffs look real easy. They've had two sweeps. Their first round was a sweep. This last round was a sweep. And so I don't think it's going to be a sweep this time around. They're definitely going to get all they can get from the Lightning, the two-time defending champs. You can't count them out. But I definitely think there's no way that anybody's stopping the Colorado Avalanche at this point. And while I don't think it's going to be a sweep, I think Colorado's going to get the win in six games. And that the NHL Stanley Cup Final kicks off on Wednesday night. All right, and moving on to my top 10 MLB power rankings for the week. We had a few shakeups, nothing crazy. I mean, of course, number one, still the New York Yankees. Actually, there's only two teams in baseball right now that have reached the 40 wins peak, and that would be the Yankees at 44 and then the New York Mets at 40. So both the New York teams, they continue to dominate at this point in the season, and they both have 40 wins. They are the only 40-win teams currently. And so number one, Yankees. Their overall record is 44-16. 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a four-game winning streak. They absolutely obliterated the Cubs this weekend. They played both the Cubs, and then they played the Twins earlier in the week. And the Twins actually played pretty well against the Yankees. But the Cubs, I don't know if they realized that they were playing baseball this weekend, but on Saturday, their pitcher, Matt Schwarmer, he gave up a league record 6 home runs in one game to the New York Yankees. The Yankees ended up winning, I believe, something like 8-0 in that game. And then the following game yesterday, the Yankees won 18-4. And so they just, it wasn't even close. Not one game was even close. Aaron Judge, he continues to have an MVP dominating season. He still leads the league in home runs with 24. He's got 48 RBIs and batting a .318 currently. Their late pick, who they just picked up about 2 weeks ago, Matt Carpenter, journeyman type baseball player. You didn't really expect much for him. And when they just called him up, he's just been raking. he's come up to bat Seven times, and six out of those seven times he has hit home runs. So he has been really helping out this already stacked and stellar lineup that the Yankees have. Their pitching still continues to dominate, and they've overcome the few injuries that they've had to deal with so far this season. They've been able to overcome them. So, Yankees, there was no way I could remove them from the number one spot, even though the number two team on my top 10 MLB power rankings is killing it right now. And that would be the Atlanta Braves. Overall record right now, 34-27. And they're on an 11-game winning streak, which is the longest in baseball right now. This week they played the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Oakland A's. So, yes, they're shitty teams, but hey. It really doesn't matter. They've been on fire, especially since Acuña. He seems to be healthy and back better than ever. He's been on this 11-game winning streak. Acuña's been batting a .368 with four home runs, so he's been the driving force behind this. But also, they had Adam Duvall. He had a huge week where I believe yesterday he had two home runs. And then earlier in the week, he had another game where he had two home runs. Then you got Contreras, who is another guy who just stepped it up this week. He made some big plays this week. And their starting pitching and their bullpen have really, really stepped it up. I mean, that was really their big problem, is that the starting pitching just couldn't get going. And they finally not only are doing it great offensively, but the pitching has really dominated. And Kenley Jansen got his 18th save yesterday as well. So the Braves are rocking and rolling right now. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. They're 37-23 overall record. They had kind of an up and down week. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They played the Miami Marlins and the Seattle Mariners this week. But Justin Verlander continuing to dominate. He leads the league with 8 wins this week. His ERA right now is 1.94, which is just crazy. He's just striking out motherfuckers like there's no tomorrow, and he's just been absolutely dominating. Jose Altuve, he had a great week this week. He had a huge hit yesterday to help the Astros pull away and get the win. Yordan Alvarez, he had another good week as well, so that extension is paying off. And then Michael Brantley, he's always been a good player for the Astros, but he tends to get lost in the mix because they have so much going on offensively that you really forget about Brantley. He's a very solid player. He's great when it comes to stealing bases. He's always getting on base. His batting average is almost always in the 300s, between the 300 and 350 range. So he's always very solid and consistent at getting hits. And he just had a great, great week for the Astros. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Toronto Blue Jays, their overall record is 35-24, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals. But man, their starting pitching is killing it. And Ross Stripling, he started the season off as a relief pitcher, and they moved him to the starting rotation. And yesterday he got his first start, and he just absolutely dominated. So he just added to this already stacked starting pitching lineup. Vlad Guerrero had a lights-out week. And then also Gurriel, he's just been very, very consistent this season so far. So I got the Blue Jays at number four. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 37-24, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week they played the Rockies and the New York Mets, and they played both teams well, but especially the Mets, because like I said, the Mets, they've got 40 wins on the season, and they ain't a slouch-ass team. And if you're able to play well against the Mets in New York, then you got something going on. And, you know, Joe Musgrove, he continues to have a dominating season. He's got a 1.5 ERA right now and 7 wins on the season. So he's been one of the most dominating pitchers. Blake Snell, he finally had a solid outing just the other day. And then Manny Machado, he continues to not only rake, but when you look at him defensively, I think he's probably one of the most underrated defensive players we have in the league, just because he's most known for hitting home runs and being a great batter. But on the defensive side of things, Manny Machado makes some big plays. And especially this week, he made big plays when he needed to make them and get them some wins. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, the overall record of 40-22. This week wasn't that great for them. They were basically a 500 week. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This week they played the Los Angeles Angels and the San Diego Padres. And like I said, they played the Padres well. They kicked the shit out of the Angels. Taiwan Walker, he just got back from the injured list, and he was striking people out like there was no tomorrow yesterday. Pete Alonso, he's second in the league with home runs at 18. So he just continues to dominate at the plate. And then Edwin Diaz, he also had a great week this week. He's just been K-ing people, striking people out like there's nothing going on. And it's just the pitching staff of the New York Mets this season is just something else. I mean, they're playing great overall baseball. But the fact that they are overcoming the Max Scherzer injury, which I thought was going to be a huge setback for them, it actually hasn't hurt them too much. You could tell that they still need him. But overall, this pitching staff is very solid. And so the Mets, this week they're at number six, mostly just because they had an up and down week, and there were a couple. The teams above them had better overall weeks. But still, technically speaking, the Mets, record-wise, are the second-best team in the league just because they've got 40 wins, right behind the Yankees at 44. Then number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 35-25, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This week they played the Minnesota Twins and the St. Louis Cardinals. Just had a very solid week. Randy Arozarena, he's had kind of a quiet season so far, but this week he really went off. Just about every game they had this week, he was a deciding factor as to why they won the game. There was one game earlier in the week where he was hit by two pitches. He had two steals, two RBI doubles, and drove it, and he scored two runs as well. So like he just went off, and not even just batting wise, he had some huge defensive plays as well. And the Rays, they play probably like the best team ball. Just because for the most part, they are a bunch of no-names, but they are doing the damn thing. And the AL East overall is just one hell of a division. It's going to be very interesting to see how the playoffs shake up, because it's one or two of those teams is probably going to get left out of the playoffs. And at this point in time, it's crazy because, I've mentioned three teams already, and now I'm going to mention team number four from the AL East at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings, and that's the Boston Red Sox. Overall record of 32-29, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Seattle Mariners and the Los Angeles Angels. And, they played so well. They've been playing so well that they actually got Joe Maddon fired, basically. And just offensively, they're just scoring so many runs. They're hitting so many home runs out of the park. The pitching is holding it down. This week, Devers had a huge, huge week. And then J.D. Martinez, he also had a huge week as well. But the Red Sox, they're also playing great team ball. And like I said, this AL East is getting really crazy, and it's just early in the season. So it's going to be very interesting to see if what happens between these four teams right now. Then at number nine on my top 10 MLB power rankings, my San Francisco Giants. Now, they're only on here for one reason, and I'll get to that here in a second. But their overall record right now is 33-26, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Colorado Rockies. The main reason why they were able to crack the top 10 this week, though, is because they just swept the Dodgers this weekend. First time they swept the Dodgers since 2016, so that's great. I do want to say I'm kind of disappointed in the San Francisco Giants faithful, because if you watched all those games, you noticed something in the crowd, and that was a whole lot of motherfucking Dodger blue, and I mean a lot. It was so much that even the announcers were like, dude, this looks like a 50-50 crowd, where it's like 50% Dodger fans and 50% Giants fans in San Francisco. That shouldn't be happening. But the Giants fans did get the last laugh. They got the sweep. And, yesterday's game, Carlos Rodon, he had a dominating game, and he really needed that because his last couple of outings, he's been pretty mediocre, especially compared to how he started the season off. Mike Yastrzemski, he's been getting really hot. I mean, he started up the season so freaking cold. There was one point where this dude was batting like in the 100s, so that's horrifying as a batter. But he's really turned it on. He's really been hitting some home runs out of the park. Giants are just playing overall great team baseball as well. And, you know, they're looking pretty solid at this current point in time, and sweeping the Dodgers is always a good thing. The Dodgers seem to be kind of in a little bit of disarray right now. Also, Walker Buehler, one of their star pitchers, he hurt his elbow this week, and it looks like he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So he's going to be missing a pretty good chunk of the season. And right now, the Dodgers are actually spiraling. So I like to see that, of course. Especially, I like to see the start of the spiral with my Giants. Actually, it was kind of the start of the spiral was actually kind of the week before. The Dodgers started to stumble, and now, now here they are. But you know, I wouldn't be shocked if this this losing streak that the Dodgers are on. I'm sure they'll get over it. And if they don't, hey, I'm happy with that too. But I'm not counting them out at any point in this season, at least, especially right now. But hey, my Giants have finally cracked the top 10 because they've had a shitty couple of weeks prior to this week. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the St. Louis Cardinals overall record of 34-27. This week, it was okay week. They went, they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This week, they played the Cincinnati Reds and the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Reds shockingly played them very well too. So that's nothing you want to see if you're a Cardinals fan. You know, Albert Pujols, he's having a great season. I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody earlier in the week when I was watching something and they were getting interviewed and they made a valid point. It was somebody else who's not on the Cardinals, but I think it was Machado, actually. I'm pretty sure it was Manny Machado. I could be wrong, but I know somebody this week had said they're disappointed in how Albert Pujols isn't really getting the same type of send-off a lot of legendary players get when it's their last season. Because if I recall, this is going to be Albert Pujols' last season. Even if it's not, it's more than likely going to be. And I agree with him. It's kind of weird that he's not getting the same type of send-off that like Derek Jeter got a few years ago before he retired. Basically, everywhere Jeter went, he was getting like prizes and send-offs and walk-offs. And hey, don't get me wrong, he's Derek Jeter, one of the GOATs of all time. Hey, so is Albert Pujols, man. Albert Pujols, you got to put some respect on this dude's name. He was the dude. He was Mike Trout before Mike Trout hit the league, and he was one of the most dominating forces for a good like 10, 15 years. So, and I mean, injuries and age, of course, have got the better of him. But I mean, this season, he's actually having a really, really solid season. So Albert Pujols, not only is he having a solid season, but he had a great week this week as well. And, you know, Tyler O'Neill, he played a big role in a couple of wins this week. And then Edmonds, he had a walk-off win also. So that's rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. All right, and then let's get to the college baseball championships. I already mentioned Longhorns have moved on, motherfuckers. They had a spectacular weekend of baseball. So let's go ahead and just start it off with that matchup, Texas versus East Carolina. They ended up going three games throughout the whole series. In game one, East Carolina won 13-7. They absolutely trounced the Longhorns. But then the Longhorns made a nice comeback the following night, and they ended up winning 9-8 and holding off East Carolina in a huge game. And then last night, they ended up taking the series. They absolutely obliterated East Carolina in the last game. They won 11-1, and now the Texas Longhorns have moved on to the first round of the Men's College World Series, which starts on Friday. And their opponent is probably the most shocking thing that happened this weekend in college baseball was in the Tennessee versus Notre Dame matchup. Notre Dame upset Tennessee, and I was so shocked by this. You know, there's always a chance for upset, But I was just so shocked by this because I just didn't really expect Notre Dame to be the one to upset them. I was actually kind of hoping Texas was going to upset them. I mean, I knew Tennessee was beatable, but I mean, they came into this season or they came into this championship with a 56-7 record. I mean, that's head and shoulders above. I mean, the number two seed right behind them was Stanford at with 41-14 record, and Tennessee. They came into the championship with a 53-7 record. So that just goes to show you the dominance that Tennessee had this year in baseball. But, man, Notre Dame took it to Tennessee. In game one, Notre Dame got the win 8-6, and it was a huge surprise. But Tennessee was able to bounce back the next day, getting the win 12-4. And then last night, Notre Dame, they just dominated Tennessee. It wasn't even a matchup. It was actually quite shocking to see the number one overall seed go out like that, not because they went out to Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame actually isn't even in the top 16, so it is a huge upset just from that standpoint. But Notre Dame upset Tennessee, and they have moved on. And so in the first round of the Men's College World Series, that matchup's going to be my Texas Longhorns versus the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So I'm looking forward to that matchup because I didn't really think the Longhorns – I mean, I know they're a good team. They always step it up, especially this time of year. They have championship pedigree. Like I said, this is the 38th time they've made the Men's College World Series. But now that they're facing Notre Dame, not that they're a chump squad, they did just beat Tennessee, I'm a little bit more like, oh, all right, Texas actually could win this championship this year, especially with how the bracket has worked out for them so far. So we'll see what happens. That matchup's on Friday, and I'll make all those predictions come Friday because we don't actually have all the matchups set. There are still two games to be played tonight in the championship in the Super Regional rounds. And then the other matchup in the Super Regionals was Texas A&M versus Louisville. And A&M took it to Louisville. They swept their asses. Game one, they won 5-4. Game two, they won 4-3. So they were close games. But Texas A&M, they took no prisoners. And now they've moved on to the Men's College World Series first round. And their opponent is from the matchup of Oklahoma versus Virginia Tech. And Oklahoma ended up eking this one out. I don't know what's going on with Oklahoma baseball, but ever since the Big 12 championship, you know, they basically kind of backed their way into that, but they ended up killing the Longhorns for the championship, the Big 12 championship. And now they're rolling through the baseball tournament. So they took out Virginia Tech in three games. They won game one, 5-4. They lost game two, 14-8. And then they won game three, 11-2. And I mean, it wasn't even close. So in the next matchup for the Men's College World Series first round, that's going to be Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. And that's what I call the dumpster fire matchup. If you're a Longhorns fan, at least, because if you're a Longhorns fan, those are like two god-awful teams you can't ever fucking root for. So we'll see who I end up picking in that matchup. Either way, what I might end up doing is I might just, like, throw up in a toilet and just see how I'm feeling after that. And that might be how I decide how to pick between that matchup. Because fuck Texas A&M and fuck Oklahoma. All right, and then another matchup from the Super Regionals. North Carolina versus Arkansas, and Arkansas just blew away North Carolina. They swept them 2-0. Game one, they won 4-1. Game two was a very close matchup, but they ended up sneaking out the win 4-3. And now they've moved on to the first round of the Men's College World Series. They're waiting their opponent. Actually, I believe this game's currently going on right now between Stanford and UConn. The series is tied up. Right now, I had Stanford moving on, so I'm going to keep that pick. But UConn won game one, 13-12. Stanford won game two, 8-2. I haven't taken a look to even see if that game's over yet, but I had Stanford winning that one. And so whoever wins that matchup is going to be going up against Arkansas in the first round. And then Ole Miss versus Southern Miss. Ole Miss just swept Southern Miss, and it wasn't even close in any of the games. It actually kind of looks like Southern Miss didn't realize that they were playing in a tournament, which is very shocking because they were the number one seed in this portion of the bracket. But Ole Miss, they swept their ass. Ole Miss won game one 10-0, and they won game two 5-0. So Southern Miss couldn't even score a run against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss will be waiting on the winner of the Auburn versus Oregon State matchup, which is also tonight. That's tied up, and Auburn won game one 7-5. Oregon State won game two 4-3. So this is a very close matchup. I had Oregon State moving on, so I'm going to go ahead and keep that, but don't be surprised by Auburn if they end up moving on. So that's what we got going on with the college baseball tournament. I mean, it's always fun, at least if you're a baseball fan, to watch the college baseball tournament. It's a different game than the pros, just like college versus pros. It's always been a completely different game, but for good different reasons, and it's just fun to actually see really a bunch of kind of like no names really join together on these college baseball teams, and they play some great baseball against each other. I've been watching some really good games throughout this entire tournament, so I'm really looking forward to first round of the Men's College World Series, especially because my Texas Longhorns are in it. They're looking really good. Like I said, they're primed to move on. Obviously, don't overlook Notre Dame. But if you look at the bracket, they're going to get the winner of that Texas A&M versus Oklahoma game. So I'll be looking forward to that if the Longhorns end up moving on, because it would be real nice to see them get some revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners for taking that Big 12 championship. So, yeah, guys, enjoy the week of sports. We got Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, so we'll see what happens there. Got more baseball all week, and hook 'em horns, motherfuckers!